page 47, I Feel Like Traveling On. My heavenly home is bright and fair, I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair, I feel like traveling on. Its glittering towers the sun outshine, I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair, I feel like traveling on. Let others seek a home below, I feel like traveling on. Which flames devour or waves or flow, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair, I feel like traveling on. The Lord has been so good to me, I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair, I feel like traveling on.
All right. Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of God this morning. We're glad you're here, glad you came to join us. And we're going to do one more song before we get started here this morning. What page, Brother Jim?
Page number 172.
Page 172.
172.
Jesus loves even me. Amen. 172.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he does love me whenever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, there is only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King. This shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Aren't you thankful for the love of Christ? Amen. How he gave his life on Calvary and shed his precious blood. He loved us so much that he gave his life for us. It's good to be here this morning. I do have a prayer list I'd like to go over this morning, and we'll pray over these ones this morning that need the prayer list. And I know that God still hears and answers our prayers. There's no doubt about that, because it says in his word, amen, anything you shall ask in my name, I can do it. Let me go over the prayer list here for June 28th. We have families that have lost loved ones recently. Al Christian's sister, Ruby Smith passed away Wednesday evening. Pray for them. Kit, Brian Shrewberry, Connie, the McMillan family, Daniel's family, Leanne Diebold, and their family. I want to pray for them this morning. And as I go through the list, I'll bow my head and we'll pray for these folks this morning. Their sicknesses going on, their spiritual needs, and other special needs. So let's bow our heads and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning in your house. We thank you, Lord, that we can have this sermon outside. I pray for these ones that have lost their loved ones. Father God, that you would give them peace and comfort and hope and strength in their lives. Father, knowing that one day, because we're saved, born again believers, we'll see you one day and we'll see them on the other side one day. Father, those that have sicknesses and injuries, we pray for Tanya Sawyer, for her chemo. We pray for Jack and Eileen Mullins. Jack's blood count is still very low. Wednesday, I believe Eileen fell and hurt herself. She is now in the hospital. She has a blood clot in her lungs. I was speaking to her the other day, Lord, and I pray you would heal that blood clot. She would be able to come back home very shortly, and her blood pressure is up high. I pray you would meet that need. Lord, we pray for Randy Mullins with the health issues, Paul Mullins with his back pain, Trish Deaver with the health issues. We pray for Stan and Reba, Lord, for health. And Stan, the back pain is improving. And we pray for Gary and Lewis Overbay with their health issues. We pray for Al Christian with the blood clots. We pray for Joanne Fitzgerald with the blood clots. We pray for Bob with the health issues. Donna Andrews with cancer. Carlina Bowsby for health issues. Rainey Williams, Wiggins with cancer. We pray for Pam Haynes, Lord, pray for her father, Mr. Phelps and Hazel, as her health declines. We pray for Harvey Walls, his wife Sally, friends at the Senior Center. We pray for Esther Hickman, Brother Larry Hickman's wife, has cancer and is in great pain. Father, we pray for those that have spiritual needs, Father, for Joe Gonzalez and his family. We pray for Debbie Stanley, lost family and friends, Joanne Gilley, Billy Harmon, and family. We pray for Marie LaFeu for lost family and loved ones. Father, we pray for Gus LaFeu for spiritual needs. Pray for Joanne Patrick. Pray for her daughter Leslie. We pray for April Rock, for her April and her family also. And Father, we pray for Steve and Sherry McGill. We pray for their family. And Father, many families in this church, many families in this country, in this world, Lord, need Jesus, need the Father get a hold of you and come to you and ask for forgiveness of sins. Father, we have loved ones in our lives. We have our children and grandchildren, family and friends that need to come to Christ and be saved. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would save their souls before it's too late. I pray that they would be saved and come to Christ. Father, there's other special needs. We pray for Mary Harris. Pray for her and her husband to get into a place to live. We pray for Zach as he makes his decision about reenlistment. Lord, we pray for all the graduates, Lord, that have been graduated. You'll bless them. We pray for the essential workers, the medical professionals, the first responders, and those that need your help and your guidance and your help in their lives. And Father, we have many unspoken requests, and I'm sure there's some here this morning that have unspoken requests. Lord, I want to thank you that you are the creator of the universe. Father, that you are the one that can meet our needs, that you are the one, the only one, Lord Jesus, that can answer our prayers and meet our every needs. We have hope in our hearts and our lives, Lord Jesus, that you can bring us through these situations, that you, Lord, can bring us through all the problems in America and all the things going on in the world, because you are an absolute, complete control. And we thank you and praise you for that. We worship a wonderful Savior. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that have been sung of Zion to uplift and encourage, Lord, those here and to just praise and worship your name. And Lord, again, I pray that those that need healing and help in their lives, Lord, that unseen hand from another world, Lord Jesus, that you would reach out and touch their bodies, Lord, and give them good health. We pray for our pastor, Lord, and his wife and his brother and his wife, Lord, as they're traveling. You'll give them traveling mercies, Lord. And Father, we pray for the funeral that they had done, Lord, that people would have come to Christ and be saved and believe and put their faith and trust in you, because that's the only hope that we have in this world. The only hope that this world has is in Jesus Christ. And again, we thank you for the cross of Calvary. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the death, the burial, the resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that you can save our souls if we put our faith and trust in you and you alone. Lord, I pray again for this country, for these people in this country, Lord, that we would come back to you and start living for you and loving you and serving you and all that we do. And again, we thank you for being in the house of God this morning. We pray these things in your precious name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we say amen and amen. Well, it's good to see everybody out here this morning. Beautiful day, the sun's shining, everything looks wonderful out. We're glad that you're here, and we're thankful that you came to join us. I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning. I have been preaching a lot on the book of Revelation, and I do want to preach on two verses in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation, chapter 20. Take God's word, and I want to start at verse number 5. There's two verses that I want to read only. There's a lot of stuff in the book of Revelation that we must learn and understand that John has written that gives us hope. That end book in the book of Revelation absolutely gives us hope in the end times. It'll give us hope in the future, amen, knowing that Jesus is alive and he's in control of everything, and one day we will be with him throughout all eternity if we are saved and born again. John is actually saying that he saw the first resurrection, which occurs just before the millennial begins. This is the raising to life of those who were martyred for the Lord during the tribulation, who are resurrected and live during the millennial period. The unsaved dead, which we'll talk about in the last part, are brought back to life in a second resurrection at the end of the millennium when they are judged at the great white throne judgment. So let's read verse number 5 in chapter 20 of Revelation. The Bible said, "But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." I want you to think about that. That's what I want to preach on this morning. They had lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. After the rapture of the church, after the millennium, they were not be brought back again until after that 1,000 years. And they will face an eternity in a place called the lake of fire. And I'll read that in the book of Revelation also. So it said, "The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power." Aren't you glad this morning that because you're saved, because you're born again, you've got the power of Jesus in your life. You've got the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. There is no other hope in this world. There is no other peace in this world. It's all about Jesus Christ. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, none whatsoever. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the resurrection of our Savior, that one day we'll come to with you and live with you throughout all eternity in a place called heaven. Lord, I pray as we preach this morning, you'll give us the power to preach with power, purity, truth, and liberty. I pray, Lord, you would speak to hearts this morning. Father, for those that are here at the house of God, for those that are in the vehicles, maybe some in the... I pray, Lord, for those that might be seeing on the website, on YouTube, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, that they will know for sure without a shadow of a doubt that they're saved, born again, they put their faith and trust in Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." You are the only way to heaven by believing and putting our faith and trust in you. Help us as we pray this morning. Speak to hearts. Draw us close to thee. And Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Those that will be raised the second resurrection after the millennium will be those that need, that have never ever put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be thankful and praise the Lord God Almighty that we have a Savior that will give us eternal life. The Bible says over in verse 11 of chapter 20, John speaking, he said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How do you get into the book of life? What's the resurrections about? What's the coming back of Jesus Christ about? It's about salvation to get into the book of life. We must put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, church, it's not about just coming to the services. It's not about singing the gospels of Jesus. It's not about giving at the offering plate. It's about none of that. It's about putting our faith and trust in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way. My friends, your name must be written in the Lamb's book of life. If not, those that are from the second resurrection, after the rapture of the church, after the millennium, my friends, will be cast into the lake of fire where the devil and the demons and the false beasts and the false prophet are. Let me tell you what, we must put our faith in Jesus. There is another world to come. Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back for the church, the rapture of the church. And I believe, my friends, it could happen at any time. I believe it could happen today. Oh, my friends, we must be ready. We must be prepared. We must pray for our lost loved ones that need Jesus Christ. You know, there will be a multitude of born-again believers who Christ will rapture up at the church. I think about our loved ones who are in the grave right now. I remember my pastor over at State Line Baptist Church, Pastor Donald Cunningham. After he had passed away and his soul and spirit went to heaven, I remember Dean Wyatt. He was a pastor of mine also. I remember that he had passed away and his wife had passed away and his son had passed away. And there was sorrow, but there was hope knowing that they were born again believers and they would be in a place called heaven one day. And at the rapture of the church, they will come back up and they'll be the first to come up. Amen. I think about my mother that was 50 years ago, when I was 13 years old, she had left this earth. She had died with cancer, but she had gotten saved just a few months before. Praise God. Let me say it again. She had gotten saved just a few months before she had took her last breath on the faith of this earth. And I know for sure because of the Bible, because of the Word of God, that her soul and spirit is in heaven now. And can I tell you, I know too, that I can't wait for the rapture of the church because I'm saved, born again. And I believe Jesus is the only way. I believe there is a heaven and a hell. And my friends, I will see her again. I'll see those pastors again. We'll all meet again at the rapture of the church, praise God. But I want to speak to you this morning about a few things. About the grave. You know, men have feared the grave since the beginning of death. They thought of dying sends a chill of terror into their soul. And the thought of lying in a coffin is even worse. I'll never forget just a few months ago, my stepmother had died in November of last year. And I remember her in the coffin and how sad that was. But I knew there was hope down the road. I knew that when Jesus came back, that her body will be raised up, amen, and meet with her soul and spirit. And I'll meet her again also. But you know what? They feared it since the beginning of death. Solomon said, there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. But let me remind you, according to the Word of God, according to the Bible, amen. Let me tell you what, there is going to be hope for the born-again believers, to those that have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the resurrection of Christ, the grave has lost its victory. The sting has been removed, praise God. And mankind will get out of that grave. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen. The born-again believers, the Christians, once they leave this earth, their soul will be up in heaven with their spirit. And one day they will come back with their body. Jesus Christ will give us that perfect body. But can I tell you what John says? He's at the throne room of God. The resurrection will not be the same for everybody. I want you to think about that 1 minute. The resurrection will not be the same for everybody. The thought is the unsaved will be in the ground, in the graves, for an extra 1,007 years, my friends, compared to the believers, to the born-again Christians, to those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus, who are raised up at the rapture of the church. I have a question. Do you want to live and be on this earth here, for an extra 1,007 years? And reign with Christ during the millennial. Now, the first 7 years after the rapture of the church, the born-again believers will be up in heaven. The born-again believers will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll be at the judgment seat of Christ, where we won't be judged for our sins, but for the works that we have done. And we'll be with Jesus for those 7 years. And then he will come back down during the millennial, amen, when Christ will rule and reign for the 1,000 years. And those believers that have been with Jesus, that have put their faith and trust in him, can I tell you, we'll be with Jesus and rule and reign with him for the 1,000 years. What a thought about the exciting times that will be. But my friends, we don't want to go through the tribulation. And can I tell you that Jesus will not take us through the tribulation? Amen? We'll be with Jesus in heaven. There will be terror and pain and suffering and damnation down here on this earth for those that have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So I want to share a few thoughts with you this morning about the resurrections in the Word of God. How important this is about the resurrections in the Word of God. Number one, I want to speak to you about the resurrections in the Scriptures of the Word of God. I'm sure you've heard men of God preach many of these resurrections that have happened in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. I want to share a few thoughts with you where Elijah raised the widow's son. You remember that, where he had raised the widow's son. Elisha raised the son of the Shunammite woman. And also the resurrection of Elisha's bones. I remember that story, how he was in the grave there and they threw a man in the grave and his bones came back up. I thought, wow, what a message that would be. But we're not going to preach on all these 8 different ones. I want to share the different stories with you. You remember Jairus' daughter was resurrected by who? By Jesus Christ. You remember the widow's son was raised at Nain by Jesus Christ. You remember Lazarus was resurrected at Bethany by Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, he did these 3 in the New Testament. He was the very Son of God, God in the flesh, amen. And he can still do that today. He will not do that, but I'm telling you, at the rapture of the church, he will bring up the dead in Christ shall rise first. And I thought, what a thought that was. The resurrections in the Scripture. And also, Dorcas was resurrected by Peter in Acts. And many bodies of the saints arose when the Lord Jesus died on the cross with the great earthquake they had, and all these bodies come up out of the grave. At that very instant, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom in the temple. The earthquake broke. It opened the rocks, and many graves opened also. And the saints appeared in that city. And the leader of the soldiers said, "Truly, not maybe, but truly, this was the very Son of God," in Matthew 27. Can I tell you, praise his holy name, Jesus rose from the grave. These are the ones that the Bible speaks of, that the Lord Jesus Christ has rose from the grave. These are the ones that Elijah and Elisha and Peter had done, raised people from the grave from the power of Jesus Christ. So that's the resurrections that we read about in the Scripture. And you say, well, that's way back when. It is. But there's new resurrections coming, my friend. There's the rapture of the church. That's going to be the latest resurrection, the newest one that's going to come. Amen. When Jesus comes back. So I want to speak to you about the resurrections in the Scripture and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the one that made it all possible. He's the one that will make it all possible at the rapture of the church. You know, the Lord's resurrection was prophesied in Job chapter 19. Watch this. He said, this is the oldest book in the Bible. I believe this was the book before Genesis. I believe this is the oldest book in the book of Job. And he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Praise God. Aren't you thankful today that Jesus Christ rose up from the grave? Aren't you thankful today that it's just not about being a Baptist or a Pentecost or whatever religion you are? It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful today that he rose from the grave, that he conquered the grave? He was the first fruits of them that slept. He rose up from the grave. And my friend, because he did, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you too one day will either go up at the rapture of the church, or he'll take your body from the grave and bring you up with Jesus Christ. I say thank God for Jesus raising from the grave. Amen. King David even said in Psalm 16, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption." Can I tell you, Jesus even proclaimed it in John chapter 2. He told the Jewish people, he said, "Destroy this temple. Destroy this temple. And in 3 days will I raise it up." Let me tell you what. He wasn't talking about the building that took him 42 some years to build. They said, "How in the world can you raise this temple up in 3 days when it took 40 some years to build?" He said, because he was talking about the temple was his body. The one that they were going to put on the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood. The one where he would go up and die for the sins of the world. In 3 days, I will raise his temple. He told those people that. They had no idea what he was talking about. Even the disciples did not understand and believe everything that was going to happen. But I'm telling you, on that third and victorious, glorious day, because of Jesus Christ, because of the hope of the world that we need right now in 2020. He arose from that grave. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He gave people hope in this world. And my friends, he still will give us hope if we believe in Jesus. That's the second resurrection that I want to speak about, is Jesus. Acts chapter 4 says, "And with great power gave the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." When Jesus Christ arose from the grave, let me tell you what, that was wonderful. When he died on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood, that was painful and sorrowful for him. But it was wonderful for us when he rose up from the grave. There's not any other religion out here in the world where their king rose up from the grave. It's only Jesus Christ. When he rose from the grave, he gave us hope. There would be no hope in this world to come. There would be no hope for any person out here in this world without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I say praise his holy name. I want to talk to you again about the third resurrection of the saints. Jesus said in John 5, 28 and 29, "Marvel not at this." He said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life." He said the hour is coming. He did not say the day, the year, the month, the week. He said the hour is coming. And my friends, this was spoken 2,000 years ago. And I believe that the hour is coming. Sometimes I believe with everything going on in this country, in this world, that it could be very well the end of the age. I believe Jesus is returning for the church. I believe it could happen at any time, any moment, any time. And we must be sure. We must believe and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He said the hour is coming, the rapture of the church. There are still some people who think the grave ends everything. But we have a lively hope in Jesus Christ, because there is absolutely life after death and heaven forever and for all born again believers. 1 Peter 3:1-5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope." How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Who's you? The believers, the one that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not the ones that haven't forgiven us of sins, the ones that haven't confessed their sins and called upon the name of the Lord, but those believers that have asked forgiveness of their sins. Born-again believers, born-again Christians. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Thank God for His abundant mercy. We don't deserve a place called heaven. We don't deserve to live throughout all eternity. We don't deserve to be in a place called heaven where there'll be no more sin, where there'll be no more sorrow, where there'll be no more sickness, where there'll be no more separation, where there'll be no more pain, where there'll be no more death. We don't deserve that. But because of Jesus Christ, because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we resurrected by Jesus Christ also and be in a place called heaven one day. I say thank God and praise His holy name. You know, Jesus Himself said in 11:25 John, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. How do we come to Christ? How do we get saved? How do we know that we're on our way to heaven? Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, the wonderful part of the resurrection will take place at the rapture of the church. That's going to be a wonderful part. 1 Thessalonians, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And my friends, I'll say it again. It could happen today. It could happen before the end of the service. It could happen at any time because Jesus is coming back for the church. Oh, but I believe we have loved ones that need Christ. I believe there's people that we know in our hearts and that we love and care about that are not saved. I believe there's people that we have a desire to see them come to Christ. Oh, that we must pray for them. Invite them to the house of God. Tell them about Jesus. Let them know who the Savior is and how there is in a place called heaven because of Christ. We must be prepared. Put your faith and trust in the Lord. The thought is that those who are in the grave who have not been saved, the unbelievers, they will remain in the grave and not come forth for another 1,007 years after the rapture and the tribulation and the millennial. Now I want you to think about that. 1,007 years. Where the Christian believers will be alive. Where the believers in Jesus Christ, instead of being in the ground, in the grave 6 foot under, instead of being there, my friends, we'll come up with Jesus. We'll be in heaven for 7 years with Jesus Christ. And then we'll come back again for another 1,000 years. And those that have served the Lord, those that have worked for the Lord, will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. He'll be on the throne of David. We will rule and reign with Him 1,000 years. But I want you to think about it. Think about those that are still in the grave. I see my friend. I went to my friend's grave last Wednesday before I came to church. Brother Gary Johnson. And I really enjoyed being around Brother Gary. He was not a Christian guy when he was young, but he became a born-again believer. And I remember I used to preach with him every Sunday, I think for like 7 or 8 years, over here at Northeast Park. And we had a great time, and I enjoyed Gary. Everything he did after he got saved, can I tell you, was about Jesus. Everything he wanted to preach messages, he wanted to preach about salvation because he's concerned about lost souls. And he died in October of 2010. He's been in the ground for 10 years. My real mother's been in the ground for 50 years. And my friends, when Jesus comes back, they're going up first. They're not going to be in the grave in the ground for another 1,007 years. Think about that. We have the resurrection of the Scriptures. Those people that Jesus brought forth from the grave. Those people that Elijah and Elisha brought forth. They came up out of the grave. Amen. They brought them back again. Jesus did, and Elijah and Elisha and Peter. They did that. But can I tell you? They had to die again. But one day, my friends, they'll come up out of the grave. And they won't be in there for another 1,007. Do you like being on this earth? I love the things that God has created. I love the beauty of the earth. I love everything around. It's wonderful. Not that there's a lot of mess going on in America and all over this world, but I love the beauty that God has created. I've seen many times I sit on my deck outside when the sun goes down and there's a beautiful sunset. And you know, the first person I think about, I got a little sign a couple weeks ago. It said, enjoy the beautiful sunset, but thank the Lord for the one that created it. I thought, that's true. There was a beautiful picture of it. And every time I look out there, I see that sunset going down. And the sky will turn from blue to red, to purple, to pink. It's beautiful. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And I'm thankful that He's my Savior. And I want to speak to you last about the resurrection of the sinners. You say the sinners, we're all sinners. But my friends, if you put your Jesus, we're saved by God's marvelous grace. Saved by His grace. Revelation 20, verse 5 says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. What's that talking about? The millennium. The rest of the dead, those that have not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. After they are raised from the dead, Christ will bring them to the great white throne judgment, and they will be cast into the lake of fire where the beast, the false prophet, and Satan are. And it will be throughout all eternity. How many people do you know today that are not saved? How many people in your heart and your life and your mind do you know today that need Jesus Christ? How many people do you know that if they had passed away from this earth or the rapture of the church happened, that they would not go to a place called heaven? We must pray and be there for them. The resurrection of the sinners. The message in the thought is that would be much worse than lying in the grave 1,000 years longer than the believers. There's a little place in Little Britain called Friends Cemetery. And sometimes I ride my bike around and I'll go to that little cemetery and walk in there. And there's some grave sites there that are back in the 1700s. They're old grave sites, 200 or 300 years old. And I look over there and I thought about if Christ had come back right now, the dead in Christ would rise first. I believe I'd see that. I believe I'd see these folks coming up out of the ground in their bodies where Christ will have their souls and spirits and bodies together, incorruptible throughout all eternity. But then I thought about, what about the person that is possibly in charge, if he's not saved, of the cemetery? And he'd walk out there one day, and he would see these graves where they're opened up. And nobody's there. He would go at this grave and look at this grave and say, where's everybody? Where's this at? Where's this coffin? Where's this person at? I'd pray that everybody would not be there. But according to the Bible, they will be. And then they would look at this part here and say, my goodness, this grave hasn't moved. Nothing has changed. The grass is still here. The flowers are still here. How come this one is empty and this one's not? Because of those that have not put their faith and trust in Jesus. And my friends, they will be on this earth, in this ground, for another 1,007 years after the rapture of the church. I want to be with Jesus at the rapture. I want to be with Jesus on this earth during the millennium time, amen? And you can too, by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. No other way. Most people like to live or say they'd want to live to be 90 or 100 years old. That's great. I have an uncle, my wife's uncle, 93. That guy's smarter than I am. He looks better than I do. I'm like, how's that happen? I'm saying, I'm glad you look that good. You got a smart. But you know what? Is that more important than not being saved and living in the down in the ground for 1,007 extra years? People enjoy the earth. But I want to enjoy being with Jesus, my friends, throughout all eternity. Do you want to live another 1,000 years on this earth and be with Christ during the millennial? Then you must be saved and accept Jesus Christ as your personal one-on-one Savior. And when the time comes, He will get you out of the grave or from this earth 1,000 years sooner than the resurrection of the sinners. We must be prepared. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's why our pastor preaches every week, 3 times a week he's preaching here. That's why I preach at little different churches in here when I have the opportunity. It's because people need to be saved. People need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because my friends, there's coming a day when Jesus is returning. And I want you to think, 1,007 years in the ground, that's pretty horrible. But you know what? It's going to be a lot worse when they face the lake of fire, when they face the great white throne judgment. Are you saved today? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus? Have you confessed your sins upon the Lord? The Bible says, admit you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Admit you're a sinner and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe that Jesus is the very Son of God, that He came to this earth 2,000 years ago, that He died on Calvary and shed His blood, but then He rose again on that third and victorious, glorious day. Believe on Jesus and then see, confess your sins and call upon the name of the Lord. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe today you say, Brother Al, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Praise God. I hope everyone that I'm looking at here says that. But what about your loved ones? What about your family, your friends, those you work with, those that you care about? Are they saved? Are they born again? As I pray, I want you to pray for them. And my friends, if you're not saved today, I want you, before I leave this place today, please come see me. Let me tell you how to get saved. Let me tell you how to put your faith and trust in Jesus. It's not what I say. It's what the Word of God says. The Word of God. And you will be with Jesus throughout all eternity. My friends, those that are possibly watching on the live stream video, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus. Today is the day, because Jesus is returning very soon one day for the church. I'm going to pray, and Brother Jim, he'll do a song for us. If you have any need whatsoever, you come and let us pray with you, talk with you. Amen. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the Word of God this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the resurrection, that you give this world hope that one day we're going up at the rapture of the church, and one day we'll be with you throughout all eternity. But Lord, those that are not saved will be in the graves for an extra 1,007 years. What a sad, sad thought. And after that, it's going to be much, much, much worse. The lake of fire. Lord, speak to hearts. If someone's here today or someone's listening today that's not saved, I pray the Holy Spirit of God will get a hold of their heart and they would confess their sins. Call upon the name of Jesus and put their faith and trust in you. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Brother Jim.
Page number 167, Pass Me Not.
Pass
me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Let us pray. Father, we love you and thank you for the beautiful day you have blessed us with, for the message that you have given us, for the word of God that speaks to hearts. Lord, I pray you'll bless. Give us a good day. Be with our pastor, his family. Lord, I pray again for those that need help in the prayer list. You'll be with them. And Father, if there were ones this morning that are not saved, that do not believe in Jesus Christ, then I pray, Lord, you would speak to their hearts and draw them for Jesus' sake, for all you've done. Lord, we'll love you and thank you and praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You need help with that?